Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got one of our great senators, Barry Usher here, member of the Freedom Caucus in Montana. Did a great job. Senator Usher, I was reading this Montana Free Press story, and it says in here that to the dismay of the Freedom Caucus, the Democrats and the moderate Republicans passed property tax cuts in the 2025 session. I see a couple problems wrong with that, but I wanted to hear your take on that one.
Well, I see a lot more than a couple. I mean, we did not see any property tax relief passed. We got a property tax shift, and we've been trying to get the word out that it is just a shift. As you and I talked about, one of the biggest issues is if you're successful and you happen to own a cabin up the Boulder, or if your family has had a house in your family for 100 years, property tax on that piece of property is going to go up 60%. Actually, I heard as much as 67%. I mean, that's a shift. That's not, I mean, your property taxes are going up. And actually, most people I've talked to, they have been looking forward, and most other people, property taxes going up. The other issue is shifting to business. You know, I am in my real life, I'm a business owner, and my property tax is probably going to go up 30 to 40%. I can't afford that. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to raise my prices to make sure that that bill gets paid for. And who's going to pay that? My customers, which means the same people that might get a property tax decrease at their home, they're going to pay it at the store. We've talked to a couple of the we've got, what, three refineries in Yellowstone County? And all three of them are trying to look at corporate-wise if they can afford to stay in Montana. These are smaller refineries in their whole portfolio, and they have the largest tax burden. So can they afford to stay in Yellowstone County? They're going through that process right now to see if they can afford to stay. And, you know, if we lose a refinery, that's a lot of jobs. That's a lot of property tax. That's going to hurt everybody.
That'd be horrible.
So citizens are going to feel it. Whether they get a decrease in their main home mortgage where they live, they're going to feel it either at the stores, they're going to feel it in job losses potentially. It's going to be just a property tax shift.
Well, and the worst shift that, because I remember during the legislative session hearing about all this stuff and sort of being disappointed. But then after these bills passed and there was sort of more reporting on what's in it, then I learned that not only everything you just talked about, but there's actually sort of now this new progressive rate structure for even homestead properties, where if your homestead property is worth above a certain amount, then the percentage rate that you pay goes up higher. And on this show, we get calls from Bozeman residents all the time who are talking about how they've been in Bozeman for their entire life and all of their friends have had to leave because of property taxes, and now their property tax is going up. And you don't have to be a millionaire billionaire to have a home in Bozeman that's worth $1 million, because a lot of those houses are worth a lot of money, just regular houses. And so that's basically class warfare, sort of Marxism type taxing, in my opinion. But we got Senator Barry Usher in the house. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies with high temperatures climbing up into the upper 80s for Bozeman, but expecting some hotter low 90s for Billings. Then for tonight, a chance for some scattered showers and thundershowers with lows dropping back into the lower 50s for Bozeman, near 60 for Billings, and we'll see gradually clearing skies on Friday. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
This is House Call for Health. The healthcare company for a major drugstore chain says it will no longer cover a major weight loss drug. CVS Caremark, one of the top pharmacy benefit managers in the country, says it's ending coverage for Eli Lilly's Zepbound. The company says GLP-1 drugs like Zepbound for people with type 2 diabetes or obesity have driven up the total costs for its plans. CVS says it will take exceptions on a case-by-case basis for Zepbound if it's a medical necessity. One doctor tells Fox Business some patients will need to change drugs, and for many, that's a high-stakes change that can affect long-term outcomes, trigger weight regain, or introduce new side effects. Zepbound is the brand name for Eli Lilly's tirzepatide. It was approved by the FDA in 2023 for chronic weight management in adults with obesity or with weight-related medical problems. Tirzepatide had already been approved to treat type 2 diabetes and was sold under a different brand name. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Senator Usher, right before the break there, I was just talking about the homestead progressive rate structure. Is my understanding of that correct? That basically, even under a homestead property, that maybe you're a Bozeman resident, maybe you're in your 80s, and we have listeners in Bozeman in their 80s and 90s who've lived in Bozeman their whole time, the life that call in this show all the time, talk about how their houses are worth $1 million now, but it's the same sort of small house, you know, that they've had for generations. But under this new, is that right that these even homestead properties, you can have a higher tax rate depending on the value?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And what you alluded to is, you know, somebody in their 80s, they've had that paid off for 40 years. And so they're paying property taxes and they may not be able to afford the property taxes. So
no, not a fixed income.
Right. And, you know, my district includes Musselshell County and Petroleum County and Golden Valley. And they're all small counties, not a lot of income. A lot of people on fixed income. I used to have Treasure County, too. And some of these people have to make a decision on property tax or prescriptions. I mean, you know, just because property taxes go up doesn't mean their Social Security or their retirement checks go up. They're fixed income. So there's going to be some choices that those people are going to have to make. And it's not their fault that their house all of a sudden, you know, after, you know, 40 years, 50 years has gone from a $200,000 house to a $1.2 million. I mean, that's the market. And just because people around you sold, that increases the market value on your house. It's not your fault.
Right. Right. No, that's exactly right. I was telling you during the break, you know, my favorite type of a landlord is a landlord that the day that a mill levy passes or the day that the property taxes go up, they walk down to the rental, they knock on the door, they tell their tenant, hey, property taxes went up, your rent's going up in that exact amount.
Yeah, a lot of these landlords, you know, they have mortgages on those rental properties. And, you know, when something like property taxes go up or insurance goes up, they have to increase their rent from their renters. So the renters are going to pay it, too.
So since we're on property taxes, I just kind of curious, what are your thoughts on what's likely to happen in the 2025 session? I know that we're going to have an election or the 2027 session. What are your plans for property taxes? Are we going to have a legislature focusing on that again in 2027, do you think?
I definitely think in 2027 we're gonna have to make some adjustments. There's going to be so many of our citizens screaming about what we did pass, and they're starting to wake up and realize how bad the bills were that we passed. I mean, we're getting the word out. Aaron's getting the word out. You're getting the word out. A lot of people are getting the word out. And but I think before then we're going to have rumor is we're going to have a special session or two. I'm not sure if those issues, property tax, is going to come up in those special sessions. I would assume there'll be an attempt to try and fix some of it. But, you know, I mean, the special session, I think, more is going to be focused on the big, beautiful bill that was passed and how that's going to affect Montana's budget, which makes a difference with property tax, too. So we got to make sure local governments, they're never going to decrease their spending. And property taxes, 90% or so, go straight to local governments, and they're not going to cut their expenses.
Well, if I had anything to do about it, they certainly would. We got Mark in Paradise Valley who's got an issue on property taxes. Mark, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. So property taxes, as they are accumulated, is basically you're taxing me on unrealized gains. Because I buy my house, arbitrarily speaking, for $100,000, and I've got it paid off, and now it's worth $500,000. I haven't realized any of that gain, and you're taxing me for it, and that's wrong.
I agree. I 100% agree with that one. What about you, Senator Usher?
I 100% agree, and you know, I hate to use the word California because most of us don't like Californians or their politics, but they did. They passed a proposition. I don't remember the number, but you can only be taxed on what you purchased your house for, and it will never go up until you sell it, and then the new owners would, have the higher tax rate based on what they purchased it for. And I've heard some talk in Montana of looking at that to see if that's a something we can do here in Montana. I think that would be great for people like you and also the people, like I said, that are on fixed incomes. I mean, it's just unrealistic to think these people can come up with more money when they're on a fixed income.
You know, California has passed a number of decent referendums back in the day. They had passed referendums that prohibited welfare going to illegal aliens. They had passed referendums saying marriage is between a man and a woman. They had passed that property tax referendum. But, of course, a lot of that stuff got thrown out by the courts, which...
Right. We have a court problem here in Montana, too.
Yeah, we got a message here from Cameron in Billings. Cameron says, maybe we should look at restructuring our government. Only way any sort of tax reform is going to happen, there's way too much money moving into the government's pockets for them to think about lowering taxes. Cameron, I kind of agree with that. Especially when, I mean, you look at like the city of Billings, for example. The city of Billings during the session was talking about how, oh my gosh, we might have less tax revenue. The first thing they said is we're going to cut police. We're going to cut. And my response was, we've got the city of Billings spending like $6 to $8 million a year on these buses that drive around empty most of the time. We could probably provide Uber rides or taxi rides to a lot of the people that use the bus for less than that.
Agreed. I mean, I think them always targeting the police and fire, first responders, is nothing but them going after the voters' hearts. I think the police and fire is the number one thing that government is supposed to do for the people. That's public safety. And that should be the first thing that comes out of the budget, even before they pay the city council, the city mayor.
I agree. We'll be right back.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
New York Times is very much on the defensive for a story about New York mayoral candidate, the Democratic nominee, Zohran Mamdani. The story itself is just not that big a deal. It has to do with Mamdani having checked black or African-American on a Columbia University application. He didn't get in, and that's not how he describes himself. But the reliance on a hacker, and not just any hacker, is why the Times standards editor posted an 11-tweet defense of what they had done. This hacker is described by the Times as often writing about IQ and race. Others use much more, let's say, explicit language. And the idea that Times would do this, it's not about national security, it's just campaign fodder, I think is why the paper is under so much criticism over the story about a 15-year-old application. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Montana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks. o'clock statewide, 9 to 10.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of a stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Six ranches were announced as Environmental Stewardship Award regional winners this week in San Diego at the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting. Winning the Region 5 honor from Polson, Montana is G&G Livestock and Kathy Cattle Company. I caught up with the father-daughter duo, Greg Gardner and Brittany Kathy, on their win.
We're just grass managers. That's what we do. To be able to bring Brittany and her family into the operation is and start teaching those little guys. They don't get it yet, but they hopefully they will. It's been great.
Growing up on the ranch myself, I didn't soak it all in when I was a kid, but you leave for a while and you realize what a blessing it is to grow up in that way and then to also find different ways to make it profitable. That has been my husband and I's biggest goal is to have a profitable, successful business to hand down to our children if they so choose.
A big congratulations to the Gardner and Kathy families of Polson for this recognition. Now, this Montana ranch will be in the running for the National Environmental Stewardship Award, which will be announced during CattleCon 26 down in Nashville come February. But here in San Diego, it's clear that Montana's legacy of conservation is already making a national impact. Reporting from the Cattle Industry Summer Business Meeting in San Diego, I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, summer is here, and with warmer weather comes a chance for some new beginnings. There is no better time to focus on your health with Billings Last Diet. Over 7 years ago, I lost 30-plus pounds thanks to their program, and I've kept it off ever since. Some of our listeners have climbed even higher, losing over 100 pounds. Think about all your favorite summer activities, hiking the trails, biking with friends, or playing with your kids. Now you take all that weight off your back. You take all that weight off your knees and imagine that same hike with 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 plus pounds no longer on your back. Billings Last Diet is the program that works. This can be your last diet. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call right now, 294-6751. They even have a remote option if you don't live in Billings. So check them out. It's the program that works.
David Noble and Senator Usher here filling in for Aaron Flint, taking your phone calls 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. Senator Usher, I got the postcard in the mail saying I'm going to get a $400 property tax rebate. So how'd that come about?
Well, I mean, we had approximately $2 billion worth of surplus. And, you know, I'm in the camp, as I said during the break, I'm in the camp that I think we ought to pass a bill that triggers that if we ever have surplus, that 100% of the surplus should go back to the people. Because if it's not in the budget and it's not in House Bill 2, you know, surplus is surplus. It's the people's money, and we need to give it back to the people. So what this $400 is they're calling it partially, you know, property tax relief. So it goes to people that own property. The trigger is you have to apply for it, which I think we found last time around that not everybody applies for it. And if you miss the deadline, you still don't get it, even though it's supposed to be your money. And this is just a carrot of way to say that, hey, we're giving something back. It doesn't add up to the $2 billion surplus. And I think it's you know, it's a joke. Last session, we had $4 billion worth of surplus, and they gave us two checks, one each year during the interim between the sessions. And I think, again, that was a joke. I mean, that was 20% of the surplus. So I'm guessing, I'm not, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but I'm guessing this is a small percentage of what the surplus was.
You know, during the session, there was almost nothing that made me angrier than constantly this deal with the surplus. Like that, to me, it's like, you know, whether or not you're one of the libertarians that thinks like all taxation is theft, set that aside. But if we paid more in taxes than was appropriated and spent, and the state is sitting on a surplus and they don't give it that back to us, that's our money that was extra that they don't need, and they're not giving it back to us. At that point, it feels like it was stolen from us.
Absolutely. I mean, it is the people's money, and we're supposed to be doing the people's work. And, you know, we should be more prudent with the funding that we do get. And, you know, when was the last time you heard government cut spending? Not in the state of Montana. It's just amazing how much money we spend. And, you know, I think there was conversation, and I think there's reports right now that Representative Jones, the appropriation chair, is trying to say that budget only went up 2%. Well, that's not factually true. He's not calculating all the spending. I would assume that's just House Bill 2. Because our calculations is we really spent 18 to 19% more this time around. But
they do it by they come up with that. My understanding is they come up with that calculation by not counting sort of like intergovernmental account transfers, or we're putting this money in that account for this, for that. Or it's like, well, that's still, whether you say that's spending or not, that's just money that is ours that you're not giving back to us.
Correct. And you're right. You know, if they put it into this account or that account, or we talked about in the break, is there's a $1 billion surplus trust fund out there. They're not calculating that is in the spending. And I think that's ludicrous, because if it's already appropriated, that means we can't spend it, or we can't give it back to the people, which is most important, because it is the people's money. So we're putting it into a trust fund that can't be used. And that, to me, is spent.
So have you been, there were some news reports maybe a week ago about the governor doing some vetoes of a lot of the spending. Have you kept up with that? I don't know the latest on that.
Yeah, the governor was forced into a corner. If you look at the voting, the rhinos, transpartisans, the nasty nine, and now we have the dirty dozen in the House. They passed a lot of bills, spending bills, with the Democrats in deals, backroom deals with the Democrats to make sure that those things got passed. And now the governor is forced, because we do have a balanced budget act, that he has to veto spending. And now that's taken against the promises and deals that Lou and crew made with the Democrats. And so it's really, what did the Democrats get out of the deals? Well, if you look at all the bills that are being vetoed, they didn't get much out of the deals.
Good. 940-0970, if you want to get on the show. We've got Cynthia in Red Lodge calling in. Cynthia, thanks for calling.
You bet. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Senator Usher. You're a reliable conservative vote up there, and we sure appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question. I don't know if this is your wheelhouse, but you might know something about it. They've done a lot in the Montana State GOP to deal with the Nasty Nine, I would say in a good way. I'm very happy about that. But we still have the Dirty Dozen in the House, and we have this guy, Brad Barker, up here in Carbon County. What are they doing to get these people? Do you know if there's anything being done?
Well, I guess the biggest way to respond is, you know, right now the Montana GOP and most central committees do not get involved in primary elections. But in the state of Montana, you know, primary elections is what wins or loses the majority in the House and the Senate. And I can tell you, being a member of the Montana Freedom Caucus, there's our PAC and only a handful or less than a handful of PACs that are going to get involved in the primaries. We're going to recruit and vet true conservatives, those that have principles and that are going to stand up for the Montana citizens. We do believe in giving back the surplus to the people. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, The Dirty Dozen includes Representative Barker, and I think that he needs a good primary, and hopefully he can raise a lot of money if he wants to stay in. But we're going to have a serious primary contender for him, and we're going to fund it. And we're already talking about strategy on that.
Did you have anything else, Cynthia?
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious because, you know, the Montana State GOP did the, I guess you'd say, the ban on the nine. And I'm wondering if they're going to, because we have a pack up here in Carbon County, and we fully intend to primary him and attempt to get him out the best we can. But I'm wondering if the Montana State GOP is doing anything to ban the Dirty Dozen like they did the Nasty Nine.
Yeah, that would be a good question maybe for Art Wittich, the new chairman of the party, sometime when he comes on. We got a message from Fred in the Flathead. Fred says, California passed Prop 13 in 78. It ties tax to the original purchase price with some allowances for small increases over the years. I recall my parents at that time having the same discussions about property tax that Montanans are having now. So good message there from Fred.
Yeah, that's the prop that I was talking about. Thanks, Brad. I didn't know the number, but I knew that California had done that, and most people are happy with that. I think we ought to attempt to get that through in Montana, because I think that would help a lot of our fixed-income homeowners be able to stay in their houses.
We got a couple more segments here with Senator Barry Usher from the Montana legislature, taking phone calls, taking messages, 406-294-0970. We'll be right back. This is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. You can find me online at LectureFan.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to one of our great senators in the Montana legislature, Barry Usher. By the way, I invited Senator Usher on because he did such a good job, because of his perspective, because he's in the Freedom Caucus here in Montana. Senator Usher, you had mentioned earlier that there may be some special sessions here before the 2027 sessions. Can you clarify kind of what was that about?
So we anticipated and actually talked about during the session that if the federal government changes anything with Medicaid expansion, with Medicaid or other federal programs that our government, our state government takes money, we're going to have to come back for a special session depending on what the rules are if those things pass. And as we talked about in the break is the big, beautiful bill off the top of my head. I do know that they changed some things with Medicaid expansion, which most significantly is the work requirements, which I believe we already passed in law, but it's been on hold because the federal government would not approve a waiver. That's what you have to do to change your rules in your state for Medicaid expansion or Medicaid, anything to do with CMS. You put in a waiver, and the federal government would not sign off on that. So it's been on hold, even though it's in our state law. And now that they put it into the big, beautiful bill, we're just sitting around waiting for rules. They're also changing some of the funding. And that's probably more so why we may have to do a special session. I was told that one of the budget interim committees was already talking about timing for a special session because we have some construction going on in the Capitol. They have to look at when committee rooms are available, when the floor might be available so we can get our business done for the people of Montana.
Yeah, my response to that whole thing about needing a waiver to put in work requirements is how ridiculous is that? That you have to get a waiver from the federal government to implement a rule that says, hey, before you get on the government dole, maybe you ought to try to find a job.
Yeah, I got to get a waiver from the federal government to get a job. That's kind of like forcing people to do what is their normal everyday responsibility.
Right. And then, so then the other thing that I find so weird about this and the way the Democrats and the media report on this. So if you put in a requirement like that, Or if you simply just start requiring actually certification and proof that people belong on Medicaid, and then it turns out actually, wow, a bunch of people got jobs and they got private health insurance. A bunch of people maybe got married, got on their spouse's health insurance, and they got off the government dole. And then the Democrats and the media report on that as if that's bad news. It's bad news. Like 30,000 people are no longer on Medicaid, as if that's bad. And I'm like, that's good news.
That's great news. And I also understand in the big, beautiful bill that they have to do reporting more often, which I'm sure that our Department of Health and Human Services,
that's right,
is going to say we need more people to certify
these
people. So
no, they're taking it from 1 year to every 6 months, and I'm thinking people ought to have to recertify like once a month or every two months, because what happens is you may be on Medicaid and that's costing us money. But if you get a job and get private health insurance, get married, get on your spouse's health insurance, you're still on Medicaid and it's still costing us money.
Absolutely. I've never said this publicly, but I own a business and I give 100%. I pay 100% of health care for my employees. I've had several employees over the years say, no, thank you, I don't need your health care, I'm on Medicaid expansion. And I was like, why wouldn't you want this health care that I provide free, and I pay for everything, and it's better than Medicaid or Medicaid expansion? And they tell me that the people down at Riverstone say, no, just stay on your Medicaid with us because we need the numbers to keep our numbers up.
Wow.
So
one time I asked AI, I asked an AI chatbot, what's the best benefit of Medicaid expansion? And you know, this response I got was that it increases the profits of local hospitals.
Yeah, I think, you know, the business model for hospitals to depend on the federal government for money is a bad business plan. And I've argued and had discussions, and most people that work in the hospitals agree with that. But we need to find out what is the right business plan for them. You know, unfortunately, they have to argue for Medicaid expansion,
right,
because their business plan.
Well, I mean, the federal government has broken our healthcare system. I mean, my personal solution to our healthcare and our health insurance system is get the federal government out of it completely, because then prices come down and people can actually afford it again. And then you won't have to depend on the government and everything else to pay these ridiculous things. So there's solutions there. Of course, we're talking about trying to ask Congress to actually repeal regulations and cut spending, which is unlikely to happen. But we've got Nancy in Roundup on the phone. So let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Thanks for calling, Nancy.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Senator. You're doing a great job for Montana and Montanans. I have a couple of quick talking points here. We're talking about Musselshell County and our housing. You know, I've lived here almost 31 years now. I bought my house. It's an old miner's house. It's a two-bedroom, four-room originally, and a built-on back porch. I bought it for $12,000 in 1999, and it's valued at market value is $101,000 right now. And I just want to tell people that Musselshell County, the old timers, when they built these houses, we have a foundation problem here. We had so much alkali in our water that when they mixed the cement, it's crumbling. Like, we have a foundation issue with so many homes here. I have neighbors where one neighbor, his house, he just made a some kind of a retaining wall so that his house doesn't cave in. And things like that. We do have a fault lines with the cave-ins here. So if you're, and we really have nothing left to sell in Musselshell County, but the housing here, the prices are tremendous. $280,000, $300,000 is common. And I have one more thing to ask. You know, the new water line from the Little Snowies. It starts in Harlow and it comes down into Roundup now, so people here are going to have their water bills are going to triple now in cost. And does that go through Levina too, Senator? Nobody seems to know if the water line goes through Levina from Harlow to Levina to Roundup. And thank you so much. I will listen off air to your answers.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate the phone call. Do you know anything about that, Senator Usher? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, I do know that that line was supposed to go through Levina, and they were hoping that it would go through Levina. I would have to follow up, make sure Nancy, we get her number so I can follow up. But I know it was supposed to go through Levina, and we were fighting for the funding to make sure.
So, the main issue there is to get clean drinking water to Roundup because the groundwater isn't safe to drink. Is that right?
Correct. It's horrible.
Okay. Well, that's the answer to that one. Hey, we got a message here from Kat in Sydney. Kat in Sydney says, I am primarying Brad Barker. He will not be reelected. Rhino removal is taking care of this. Are you familiar with the Rhino Removal Project, Senator Usher?
I am. I've had some good conversations with Kat, and, you know, that is a different organization than the Montana Freedom Caucus. It sounds like we have some of the same values and goals, and we'll be happy to see anybody that would help get rid of Representative Brad Barker or any of the other Nasty Nine or Dirty Dozen.
I'm with you. T-Bob in Lewistown says, $2 billion? What a bunch of thieves. Menace from Ennis says, Mr. Noble, I have a better idea than a California Prop 13. How about no property taxes on anyone over 65, no income tax under 50K? What do you think, Senator Usher?
Well, I think those are all great ideas. I mean, if we get rid of property tax, you know, we should have to figure out how to do income tax or sales tax. And I hate to say sales tax, but, you know, because that's the third rail that nobody wants to talk
about.
But
we have a ton of tourists in this state.
We do.
Why don't these tourists have to pay into our taxes? That'd be nice.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the only place that we hit them is with bed tax when they stay in some of our hotels, and actually gas tax. They pay for that when they buy gas. But, you know, I think it was, I forget who it was, Representative Skies tried to pass a bill that said, hey, if we implement a sales tax, we need to get rid of one of the other two taxes. And I would support that. Most of our citizens don't trust the state government to get rid of one if we added a sales tax.
But could we do it in a constitutional amendment so there's no...
Yeah, I think it would have to be a constitutional amendment, and it would have to be clear that if we're adding sales tax, we're getting rid of one of the other two. I know there's some issues on whether or not a sales tax could cover everything that a property tax covers financially, but, you know, we supposedly have enough...
Here's my take, Senator Usher. We don't have a tax. We don't need to focus on the tax side. We need to focus on the spending side. You look at states like Texas or Florida that has no income tax. They have massive property taxes. I'm not trying to get rid of one tax and have some massive amount of tax on something else. I think we focus on spending.
I agree. I mean, if we could cut spending, and I can't tell you when the last time.
All right, we're right back after this. Perry, hold on.
Breaking news.
An upgrade storm's on the way.
With Xfinity Mobile Premium Unlimited, you can upgrade your phone up to 2 times a year.
How's it looking out there, Rick?
The Wi-Fi is still booming!
Now through September 30th, existing Xfinity Internet customers can get an unlimited line included for a year. Learn more at XfinityMobile.com. Restrictions apply. Requires Xfinity 300 megabit internet or above. Taxes, fees, extra. After promo, regular rates apply. Reduced speeds after use of monthly data included with data option. New thresholds may vary.
Fox News commentary.
In the game of cops and robbers, the Democrats root for the robbers. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Democrats have decided the bad guys aren't the criminal, illegal aliens, but rather the men and women of ICE, law enforcement, and Border Patrol who are simply doing their jobs and risking their lives while they're at it. Now, being in any kind of law enforcement is dangerous, but it sure doesn't make matters for these folks any easier or safer when you have Democrats calling them the Gestapo or the secret police or accusing them of terrorizing communities. They truly and deeply believe, or at least they hope you will believe, it's the law enforcement agents who are the terrorists and not the criminal, illegal aliens. Assaults on our immigration agents have gone up 500%, and that number is climbing. Just this week, we've had two incidents. And that's what happens when elected so-called leaders lie to their minions that random people are being scooped up by masked men and sent to concentration camps. This is a deliberate lie, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Donald Trump's America.
Brazil's insidious attacks on free elections, President Trump says, is part of the reason he's imposing a 50% tariff on the country's imports next month. He announced that rate in a letter, but it differs from letters sent to other U.S. trading partners, instead singling out the trial of former President Jair Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro is accused of attempting to coup after he lost re-election in 2022. President Trump has described the investigation as a witch hunt that should end immediately. Dozens of other trading partners are also being told of new charges as part of a reciprocal tariff plan first outlined in April.
The formula was a formula based on common sense, based on deficits, based on how we've been treated over the years.
Most of the tariff rates are below 40%, so many economists warn of higher prices for consumers as importers could pass along higher costs.
ManageGold.com. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Please consult your tax or financial advisor. Call us at 800-900-8000.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we are talking to Senator Barry Usher still, including the next segment. Perry in Columbus, we want to get to you and get your Senator Usher's response. But we've got some special guests in the House. We've got Bo and Devin from Montana Brews and Barbecue. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so what's the deal with the brews and the barbecues?
Yeah, happening this Saturday, Lakeside Metro Park, Billings, Montana. We're having our Montana Brews and Barbecues. We'll have over 60 different handcrafted Montana keg beers out there, representing over 30 different breweries from throughout the state.
Yeah, we're all about Montana out of the event. Our company supports Montana. We support our local communities. That's what we're all about. So that's exactly what this event is about. So like Devin said, we're going to have 60 ice-cold Montana-made, all-kegged craft beers. We'll represent 30 Montana breweries. We'll have 18 of Montana's best food trucks. We'll have live Montana music. It's a great time to support our local community.
That's fantastic. Boy, we've really seen the brewery business take off, haven't we?
I tell you what, so we've been doing this event for 15 years now, and even 15 years ago, I can't say craft brewing was in its infancy, but it was really kind of at its toddler stage, and it has blown up. We have over 100 breweries just in the state of Montana, so we're pretty excited to support 30 of them down there.
Awesome. So how do people get tickets, or how much are they, that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, if you want to come out to the event, we'll have your glasses and tokens out there. But we encourage anybody to come get their presale. Hit up any of the Billings, Shipton's, our locations, or Canyon Creek Brewing. You're going to get your glass, your 10 tokens, $25. It's going to save you time. It's going to save you money.
Well, and like you said, Devin, you're actually getting an actual glass. You know, we're all about the experience when you're out there. So not only is it going to be a good time, but we want to present the beer to you in its freshest, purest form, which is why we do it in a keg. But also, you're going to be able to sample it out of a glass, which when you go to a restaurant, that's what you're going to have it in. No one wants to drink a cold beer out of a plastic cup. So yeah, we're all about the experience. So come out there. It's going to be a great time.
So how does it work? So, I mean, do you get unlimited beer? Or you get 10 beer tokens?
Yeah. 10 beer tokens. So it's a sampling event. They're basically the flight glasses.
So 10 beers, but not 10 full beers.
Yes, yeah. That's why we do it. Well, we don't want to give you a pint, and you have one or two, and you're just like, oh, I'm full, but I can't experience any more of these beers.
Yeah, I mean, when you bring over 60 flavors out there, you want to be able to experience a multitude of them, because we really do have the entire, I guess you'd say, gamut of beer diversity out there. So we're going to have anything and everything you can think of. You know, when you talked about craft brewing and how it's exploded, that not only includes the number of breweries, but just in what they're creating. Yeah, I mean, it's really almost as much science as it is flavor. You know, you will have everything you are used to having, all of your stouts and IPAs and lagers and pils, everything, anything you can think of. We have some really unique creations out there. And those unique creations are becoming really popular. All the crazy fruit-infused stuff, all the ciders, all the seltzers. We're going to have all of that stuff out there. You know, we'll have pickle beers and mushroom beers and really, I use the word unique. I think it's kind of weird. But people love it, so we're going to have it out there.
But what if, because I know Montanans pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking some of them are going to want more than just 10 samples.
then guess what? We will have some more tickets out there for
you
to buy.
We've got way more tickets than that available.
Yeah, we
do that just so you can control.
It's a good starting point.
Exactly. And we do it, so that it keeps money in your pocket. Instead of coming out there and charging everyone $50-$60 a person to get in the door and having unlimited samples, it's free admission, free parking. If you want to just come out and listen to the live music.
Oh, yeah, you have to drink beer.
Come on out.
We got live music by a local Rhythm Destroyers here, man.
It's free to
come out and listen to music if you want.
But if you want to enjoy the beer, we'll start you out with the glass and the 10 tickets. And then, if you want more, you can have more. But that way, it allows you to control how much you're spending, how much you're drinking and consuming out there.
Yeah, so you got live. Have you guys heard the Rhythm Destroyers? What kind of music is it?
Yeah, they're classic rock. They're like a classic rock cover band, something that they're going to play music out there that everyone knows and you can kind of tap your toe to.
It's a true brew fest. The brewmasters are going to be there. You can meet the brewmasters.
Yeah, we'll have some brewmasters on hand. That way, say you have a flavor you love, you can get to know all about how they made it.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay, so this Saturday, July 12th, 1 o'clock until 10.
All the way to 10. All day long. So you can come for breakfast or come for lunch and stay for dinner. Come whenever you want to.
Okay, and at Metro Park.
Right, Lakeside.
All right, well, thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
We are going to be back here in the next segment starting the 8 o'clock hour with Senator Barry Usher, Perry in Columbus. Hopefully you call back in and we'll get the messages.
Mantana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.